Good afternoon, guys. We're glad to see you at Huddle this afternoon. We are in chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs. And that chapter is rich with a lot of truth, but I want to focus on one verse, verse 23. And if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them. And there is a Bible at the center of the tables, but I encourage you to open your Bible. Proverbs 4:23. Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this, and I believe this is a word for us. As we focus on our series, Today's Men, this is a word from God for each of us today. Guard your hearts. Guard your hearts. With all diligence. For from it flow the wellsprings of life. Guard your hearts with all diligence, for from it flow the wellsprings of life. It was late one night in early June of 1978, and my dad had just come home from working at the United States Postal Service. And he sat there on the edge of the bed. And he said to me, he said, I think I have indigestion. And he took some Pepto-Bismol and some other aids that he thought would help his indigestion. And the longer he sat there on the edge of the bed, the worse he seemed to get. And he said to me, he said, I'm not feeling very well. And he said, don't bother your mother. By now it was about midnight. He said, don't bother your mother. He said, let her rest. She's got to get up at 5:30, 5:45 to go to work that morning, that next morning. He said, but I think you need to take me to the emergency room. I quick got my dad into the car, and I whisked him to the emergency room of our local hospital. And when I got there, they met my dad at the door, and they whisked him into the emergency room, and the next thing I knew, he was in intensive care, critical care. My dad had lapsed into a coma, and I stayed there, and the doctor in the emergency room came out and said to me at about 2 a.m. that morning, your father's had a major myocardial infarction. He has lapsed into a coma. He has lost consciousness. If you have anybody that's next of kin or relatives you need to inform, you need to get them here quickly. I went home and got my mother out of bed. She got dressed. We went to the hospital. By noon that day, my dad died. My mom never had an opportunity to say a last word to him, being that he was in a comatose state. That experience, men, is indelibly etched in my mind and will forever be etched in my mind and heart for the rest of my earthly existence. How quickly things can change. That year was 1978, and we've come a long way, baby, in regards to our heart. And Brother Jim here, who has had some serious heart matters, knows how technologically and through the advancements of stents and medicines and other technology, we're blessed today to live in the day and time in which we do. We are truly blessed. I believe that. We've made tremendous advances in medical science concerning our heart. But yet thousands of people every day are dying of some type of coronary heart disorder or disease. Can I tell you, men, that even more epidemic than physical heart disease is spiritual heart disease? Jeremiah, in his pen, when he wrote this, in Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, said this, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. No man can understand. I, the Lord, understand the heart and search the human heart. Only God knows our hearts. You're sitting next to people today that you really don't know their heart. I don't know your hearts, but there's one who does. That fist-sized muscle in the center of our chest that beats thousands and thousands of times a day, pumping life-giving fluid and oxygen and nutrients through some 60,000 miles of arteries and veins and capillaries in our body, is an amazing, amazing thing that God has designed within each of our bodies. It truly, truly is, when you stop and think about it. But even more importantly is for us to examine our own hearts and see where we are right now in relationship with an eternal God. I'm thankful to say to you guys, my dad knew the Lord. Had my dad not known the Lord that day and that time, I would have been deeply distraught, not only about his physical condition, but more importantly about his spiritual condition and where he was going to spend eternity. But I know, because of the confidence I have in Jesus Christ, that he was raised from the dead by God his Father, and because he's seated at the right hand of God the Father in glory, I have confidence that one day I'm going to see my dad again in glory. Hallelujah. Not based on my opinion, but based on the Word of God and the authority of Jesus Christ. Man, I want us to go into the operating room of God's Word and look candidly into our own hearts today and take a candid look, and we're going to allow the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to do a new work in our hearts. Now, what about this word heart? Thousands of times the word heart is used in the entirety of the Bible. It's amazing. When you look under a glossary, you look under the word heart, you see heart mentioned a number of times. Solomon in the book of Proverbs mentions the word heart some 65 times, believe it or not, just in that little book of Proverbs. In every chapter, the word heart is mentioned at least once, except for three particular chapters in the book of Proverbs. Isn't that fascinating? Solomon knew the importance of our hearts. Very important. The word that is commonly used in the Hebrew is the word leb, L-E-B, and it means our whole being. It encompasses everything about us. Remember what God told Samuel the prophet when he was trying to find a replacement? And he went to the family of Jesse, and he was trying to find someone to become king, to anoint that person becoming king. God gave this word to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees, but man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." That Hebrew word includes motives, feelings, affections, desires. It also includes the will, the aims, the principles, the thoughts, and the intellect. It encompasses our whole being. So when you use the word heart, it's all encompassing. The Greek word is cardia, from which we get cardiology. And some of you men may have a cardiologist that you go to, someone who specializes in the heart and situations concerning the heart. That's the Greek word cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. The Latin word is cor, C-O-R, and that means really our whole being. It encompasses everything that makes us tick and function as a man. Now I went back and looked in the book of Proverbs, and it's interesting, but there's different kinds of hearts that are mentioned. Interestingly, I found this fascinating. I'm just going to run through. There's a diversity of hearts that are mentioned. There's a scheming heart in Proverbs 6:18. There's a cunning or a sensual heart, Proverbs chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Solomon mentions a wise heart, chapter 10, verse 8. He mentions a deceptive heart, chapter 12, verse 20. He mentions a hurting heart. And who of us at times hasn't had a hurting heart or seen others with hurting hearts? In chapter 14, verse 13. He mentions a tranquil heart, chapter 14, verse 30. A righteous heart, chapter 15, verse 28. He mentions a glad heart, a merry heart, in chapter 15, verse 30. A haughty heart, in chapter 18, verse 12. A heart of rage, in chapter 19, verse 3. A pure heart, in chapter 22, verse 11. And an envious heart, in chapter 23, verse 17. Isn't it interesting the different types of hearts and experiences we can have as men, as Solomon enumerates them? What determines what kind of heart we have, guys? We all have a different kind of heart. What determines that? What is the motivation behind it? Let me mention three things very quickly. First is our thoughts. Proverbs 23:17, for as a man thinks in his heart, in his mind, so is he. Our thoughts, the things that we allow to filter into our minds, determines the kind of heart we have. The things we focus on, the things we feed our mind, the things we allow our hearts to meditate upon, determines the kind of heart we have. Secondly, our speech. It says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Remember what Jesus said in the New Testament? It's not what goes into you that defiles a man, but it's what comes out. It's what's in the heart. Didn't Jesus say that? I believe he did. What's in our hearts? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We don't realize the power and the influence we have over what we say. I was visiting a young lady in our church yesterday, and very depressed and very despondent, and she said, I've really given up hope because some of the doctors I've gone to just have not really been very encouraging concerning my condition. And I said, you know, you got to be careful what report you believe. You got to be careful. And she had accepted that and received that word as if it was from God directly. And I thank God for gifted doctors. I believe that. I thank God for those people, men and women, who are used mightily by God. But they don't have the last say, guys. Only God Almighty has the last say. But death and life are in the power of the tongue. Be careful what you say. It has a profound effect, especially with your kids. Isn't that true? Especially with your children or your grandchildren, has a profound effect, and they accept your word as gospel truth. Be careful. It seeps into their hearts. Thirdly, spending our money. For where your treasure is, Jesus said, you know the rest of it, there will your heart be also. You want to know where a man's heart is? Check his checkbook. Check his bank statement at the end of the month. Check his credit card account. You want to know where your heart is, guys? Check your finances. Check what you're giving, what you're committed to. That determines in large measure, because where your treasure is, I didn't say this. This didn't originate with me. It originated with Jesus. There will your heart be also. I think our heart follows suit with those kinds of things. What are some actions that our heart prompts our hearts? Let me mention four real quickly, going back to Proverbs, and I'm going to read through this and fly through this quickly. Some hearts spurn reproof. Some hearts do not listen to wise counsel and wise teachers. Brother John Tice talked about the importance of listening to wise admonition and wise teaching and wise counsel. Some hearts don't want to listen to that. Some hearts don't want to accept what others have to say. In Proverbs chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, and you say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart spurned reproof, and I've not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to my instructors. Any of you have ever dealt with a young person that's pretty rebellious, pretty difficult to deal with? Maybe you've had some kids you've raised that have been difficult, not easy. Maybe you have some grandkids that are that way. My dad always told me, he said, son, if I hear a bad report about you from your teacher, you're in big trouble. Anybody ever had that said to them? I didn't get a second chance. If I was in trouble with the teachers or somebody in authority, I was in big trouble. And I knew I was in big trouble. Solomon says in chapter 10, verse 8, the wise heart will receive commands. The wise heart will be open to instruction, to receive. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Can I tell you, as a pastor, there are certain people that I respect in this community that I go to seek counsel from? Because I believe that their admonition and the word that God sometimes says to them, through them, to me, is important for me to hear and heed. Some of those guys are in this very room. And I respect them because I believe God speaks to them and through them to me. I respect their opinion. I respect their judgment. I respect their counsel. I think that's important. Sometimes our hearts are bent on sensuality or sexuality. And there's various passages in chapter 6 and chapter 7. Solomon says, "For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is a light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart. Now therefore, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth, and do not let your heart turn aside to her ways." Guys, one of the things that really is a struggle for all of us is this whole human sexuality thing and the temptation. All of us struggle with that. Every man in this room struggles with that. That's why pornography on the computer and all these adult magazines and things that bombard us with all kinds of sensual messages, it's a multi-billion dollar industry today. Guard your heart, guys, with all diligence, for from it flow the wellsprings of life, Solomon warns us. Guard your heart, guys. And don't you sit here, none of us can say it, myself included, that'll never happen to me. I know pastors in this town, and I've been here almost 20 years, I know pastors in this town that have fallen as a result of giving in to those kind of temptations. I can name names. Don't sit here saying you're above that or you're up beyond that kind of temptation. If you're a man and you breathe and you function, we're all susceptible to that. Third, anxiety and gloom. Chapter 12 and chapter 18, Solomon says, "Anxiety in the heart of a man weighs it down. The spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but a broken spirit who can bear?" Have you ever had something that's just weighed your heart down? You've been full of anxiety, maybe a concern about your spouse and her health, maybe a concern about a child or a grandchild or some other family member, and you've had a heavy heart. How many of you have ever had a heavy heart about some matter, some situation, some concern? Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's we live in a day and time when our jobs are not secure. There's no loyalty. There's no commitment. You ever had a heavy heart about a matter? Maybe it's finances. I don't know what it is. God knows what it is. But when we have anxious hearts, our hearts can get weighed down and broken, and it's as bad as being sick physically, to be spiritually sick in our heart. Fourthly, indiscriminate sharing. Chapter 18, verse 2, "A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind." The last section of that verse 2 could read like this: "In revealing all his heart." Let me reread that. "A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing all his heart." That's really how it should read. Do you remember a situation in Judges chapter 16, verse 17, where Samson told Delilah all that was in his heart concerning the source of his strength? And that was the beginning of his demise and downfall, guys. Be careful about indiscriminate sharing and who you share what with. Guard your hearts. Be very careful whom you share what with. Finally, what are some things we can do to help guard our heart, to direct our heart in the right path? You see what Solomon says here in verse 23? Guard your hearts. This is not an option. This is a command. Guard. Guard. Put a sentinel at the doorpost of your mind and your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. Do it diligently. Do it consistently. Do it daily. Guard your hearts, for from it flow the very wellsprings of life. That's the whole core of our being, guys. It's our heart. What can we do? Four P's, finally, in closing. First, praise. God inhabits the praise of His people. In Matthew 15, when Jesus looked at the Pharisees and the religious types of His day, He said, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you." He said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me." Let me tell you, guys, one of the things that helps my heart is to focus on praising God. That helps to guard my heart. Because if I'm focusing on Him and praising Him, all the cares, all the worries, all the things that happen He gives me a whole different perspective than I would have myself. Sunday night a week ago, someone came banging on our door at 11 o'clock at night. A young man over in Galveston on a motorcycle with his girlfriend was coming out of Galveston on 35. And this young man, a deer came out. He was doing about 50 on his motorcycle and hit the deer, and they careened off the road. And he injured his head, had a severe concussion, was lifelined to Indianapolis. And I'll tell you what, I made it down to Indianapolis in 40 minutes to Methodist Hospital from Kokomo. I flew because I did not know the status, the condition of this young man. But all the way down, I had praise and worship music on because I didn't know what I was going to face. I had no idea what I was going to encounter when I got there. I didn't know the criticalness of the situation of that young man and whether his life was in the balance. Thank God he's doing well right now. Praise God. Praise. Secondly, prayer. Paul writes in a jail these words, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Have no anxiety about anything. Well, that's easy for you to say, Paul. You haven't been in my shoes. You haven't dealt with the stuff that I've dealt with. He was in prison when he wrote these words, guys. His life was on the line. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What Paul was visualizing there, he was shackled. He was chained to guards. And what he's saying is, guys, put a guard in your mind and your heart at the doorpost and don't allow any worrisome ill thought to invade your life. Let me tell you, the devil wants to thwart us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to trip us up. And sometimes when you can't pray, it's good to seek someone else that can pray for you. I will share with you, over these last 4 or 5 months, I've gone through hell, literally, and back. I've had a tough time in my own life. And I'm thankful that I've had some people that I can turn to, Aaron and her, to lift my arms up. I'm thankful for prayer warriors that I've called upon to pray for me and my wife and our church and our ministry. I'm thankful for that. Prayer sustains us, guys. Believe it or not. And even when you don't feel you can pray or you don't know how to pray, seek someone else out that can pray on your behalf. I challenge you. Pray for your pastors. I'm telling you, I see more spiritual warfare going on in this community and churches in this community than I've ever seen in 20 years. I'm here to tell you. Pray for your pastor. Pray for spiritual leadership in this community. God knows this community needs it desperately. Desperately. Prayer. Thirdly, peace. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. J.B. Phillips says it this way, and let the peace of Christ be the umpire in your hearts. When we have the peace of Jesus Christ, boy, there's no better feeling, is there, guys? When we have peace, the peace of Jesus Christ in our mind and our heart, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, 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 whose mind is stayed on thee. God gives us a peace, I believe, even in the midst of adversity. Finally, pardon. The final P is pardon. For the unbeliever, and I don't know where your hearts are, guys, only God knows. Romans 10, 9 and 10, great passage. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. There may be some men in this room who have never heard the claims of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, guys, it begins in your heart. It begins by being convicted of your sin. And Brother John said it so well, and Randy and Jim before that, that we cannot have a relationship with God outside of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. So for those of you guys who aren't sure about your eternal certainty, like my father knew that when he died, he was going to go to be with Jesus. If you're not sure of that today, I want you to get your hearts right with him. That's the most important thing. For us who are believers, you're not exempt. Remember what David confessed in Psalm 51, verse 10? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right and steadfast spirit within me. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search my heart, O God, and lead me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. Can I challenge you guys? From the pen of a man who was very wise, guard your hearts and do it with all diligence, for from it flow the wellsprings of life. Father, I pray that you'd help these men as we have time of discussion and interaction and dialogue at the table. I pray, God, it would be good. Bless our table leaders, those who are leading the conversation. Lord, may all that be said be done to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.